Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
You know how we do hunches here on the show? Our guy Kang's got a hunch. We'll get to his hunch coming up. 248-539-9797. Brad's in Clarkston and on 97.1. Hi, Brad.
Yeah, how are you?
We're good, thank you.
I don't hear as much talk about those pesky Vikings. They just won't go away. And I'm 69 years old, and there is no other team, including the Packers, Bears, that have disappointed in the last 2 to 4 minutes of a game than the Vikings have done to us. If we beat them, it's, you know, that's the new Lions. But if we lose to them, what's the tiebreaker?
Well, the tiebreaker would be division record, and that's why this game tomorrow is actually really, really big. Because the Vikings are 2-1 in the division, their lone loss coming to the Lions. If the Lions lose tomorrow, they'll be 2-1 with a loss to the Bears, and the Vikings will actually control their own destiny in the NFC North, in that they can win out, win the season finale in Detroit, and pass the Lions. If the Lions keep winning, that game against the Vikings at the end may not matter, because
there's no other team in football that has disappointed us in the last couple minutes than the Vikings. And it'd be nice if we can get two games up on them. But I fear them.
It'd be great to, well, I don't fear them as a team. I think the Lions have a far better team. But the record by the Vikings, it just keeps winning. And look, they've got an easy schedule the rest of the way. They're playing a 6-5 team in Arizona. Then they take on Atlanta. Atlanta's not good. They have a terrible, terrible defense. Then they take on the Bears. All three of these games are at home, by the way. Then they finish up with at Seattle, home against Green Bay, at Detroit. Their last three games are really tough. Their next three games are not. Are the Vikings good? Offensively, they can be explosive. But I'm not sold that Sam Darnold's the answer, the guy that can lead them past what he's done already. And I don't know if their defense is overall good enough. I mean, if you want to go back and look at some comps, you know, they beat Jacksonville 12-7. They beat Tennessee 23-13. You know, these are teams that the Lions handled extraordinarily well.
We didn't exactly beat up on them in our win. I'll take it, and I hope the Lions repeat, because these are not the SOL Lions anymore.
Then I tell you what, but if you really believe that, then don't it, you know what doesn't matter? What the Vikings have done to the Lions in the past. You've cited that as one of your reasons. If they aren't the same old guys, then the truth is all that stuff that happened in the past is irrelevant to the here and the now. The Vikings in the here and the now matter, but what's happened in the past really shouldn't even be brought up.
I mean, Lions beat them last year, and the Vikings threw for over 800 yards against the Lions.
Yeah.
So in the two games.
All right, so Lions taking on this Bears team. You mentioned how Chicago's lost five in a row, and they're probably a little bit better than their record indicates because a lot of these games have been close, but most NFL games are actually close, and most NFL games are won on the margins, and the Bears are just a couple of plays away. And when the Lions were that team that was a couple of plays away here and there, I'd get all fired up only to realize in the end that it just meant that they were a bad football team. So that's what the Bears probably are right now. Oh, so close, but yet in that football purgatory. Now, some feel they are a head coach away from being good. And I always like check, what time is it? Is Eberflus still hired? Like, I'm amazed that he is surviving it and has continued to survive. And then maybe he won't. He had maybe a bit of a self-preservation move, and they changed their offensive coordinator a couple weeks ago, and in the 2 weeks since, with their new offensive coordinator, Thomas Brown, Caleb Williams is 55 for 78 for 571 yards, two touchdowns, no picks, 15 carries for 100 yards. He made some throws in that game against Minnesota, the one on the run, running towards the near sideline where he on the run, lofted it over the linebackers in front of the safeties to DeAndre Swift. Was a thing of beauty. He had a crossing route to Keenan Allen that fitted into a tight window. It might not even been a well-advised throw, but it speaks to the arm talent. And the last throw to DJ Moore he had to set up the field goal at the end of regulation was one hell of a gotta-have-it throw. There's a lot to like about him. He also has gone four straight games without a turnover. Four straight games, Caleb Williams has not turned it over. Yep.
Well, that's impressive. I think they've got a really good receiving core, and that includes DeAndre Swift with those guys. DJ Moore, Rome Odunze, the rookie, Cole Kmet, the tight end, the veteran Keenan Allen, along with DeAndre Swift. That's a pretty good core of guys that you can throw the football to. And Caleb Williams has struggled this season to find those guys quickly enough or to go through his progressions quicker and to have the game process and slow down for him. It hasn't happened maybe as quickly as he wants it to. But to your point, he hasn't turned it over lately. And he has been more accurate lately as well. And he makes plays with his feet. I'm not worried about DeAndre Swift as a running back and running the football in this game.
He's been a hit or miss.
Yeah, he's averaging 4 yards a carry, literally 4.0. But he's a guy that you know when the ball's in his hands and he can make something happen, he can make you miss, and he's fast as hell. I worry about him in the screen game. And sometimes a screen pass is your best friend, but I also feel pretty confident that Aaron Glenn will devise a game plan to neutralize that. Be wary of where Caleb Williams is, but they did a pretty good job last week against Anthony Richardson. Despite Richardson, that first drive, marching the team right down the field until it was bend but don't break territory, and they only gave up a field goal on that. And then they only got a field goal the rest of the way. And they shut him down completely in the second half. Okay, we'll give up some yards rushing to him, to the quarterback, but they weren't going to let him beat him through the air because they just better than what the Colts had. It's a different game this time around. The Bears have legit receivers all throughout.
Four straight games without a turnover. I brought it up in the office today, and Kank said, uh-uh.
Yeah, all that means is he's due. No, I honestly, though, my hunch is Caleb Williams not only just finally has a turnover again, he has three of them, okay? And, yes, he's been playing better, but Gator, that last game, there was a throw that should have been a pick, and these things happen throughout the course of a season. My issue with Caleb Williams is he's still playing college-style hero ball back there, but this is the NFL. This isn't, you know, the Pac-12. And I think Kirby Joseph, the ball hawk that he is, gets one. I think Terrion Arnold gets his first pick. I think he's going to be running around there trying to do what he does, and he made a mistake this time doing it against the Lions. I believe in Caleb Williams long-term, actually. I just think he doesn't know yet that some plays you got to give up. And he is one of those guys that does not give up on plays, and he'll throw a hook shot throw across his body because, you know what I mean, instead of just throwing it to the sideline reporter. When, you know, Doug, you always say when Tony Ortiz was working sidelines, Tony Ortiz is always open.
Always open. Yep.
Always open if you don't have somebody. Too. Yeah. And I don't think Caleb Williams has, I don't know who their sideline reporter is for the Bears, but that guy's open, Caleb, and he hasn't learned that yet. So I think my hunch is we see multiple picks, maybe three, from Caleb Williams, Turkey Day. Gobble, gobble.
He's only thrown five all season, but I like the gobble.
Yeah, you know what? He's playing the Lions this week.
I got a hunch, too.
Oh, I got a hunch as well.
Okay. David Montgomery, a little bit banged up, but he's looks like he'll be ready to go and play. I think that means that they're going to give more run to Jahmyr Gibbs and err a little bit on the side of caution. Jahmyr Gibbs is only 114 yards away from 1,000 yards rushing on the season. We know how explosive he can be. I think Jahmyr Gibbs ends up passing the 1,000-yard mark on Thanksgiving. I think he'll have more than 114 yards rushing. I think he'll have a couple of touchdowns, and I think one of them is going to come from outside of 30 yards. It's just a hunch.
Well, I got to tell you, if you look at the Bears' defense last week, Minnesota gave them problems.
Gobble? Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Minnesota gave them problems with Sam Darnold and the deep ball, whether it was caught or a pass interference. They had success throwing the deep ball. Darnold had 330 yards passing. Aaron Jones went over 100 yards rushing. And both Jordan Addison and TJ Hockenson had over 100 yards receiving. Like, they actually feasted on that Bears defense. The one thing that happens with the Lions, and the Bears, I know, are concerned about the Lions run game, as they should be, and your call of a big day for Jahmyr Gibbs is a wise one, using context clues of who's banged up and David Montgomery is, as much as he wants to play, it isn't about this. The other thing the Lions, and we haven't talked about it much this year, is Jared Goff's accuracy isn't just finding the open guy. He's hitting guys in stride. So they're not having to slow down to catch a football. They're not having to dive to catch a football. They're at maximum RPMs when they catch the football, which leads to huge yards after catch and allows for more big plays in the passing game. All touchdown passes aren't thrown into the end zone. As you all know, many are thrown outside the end zone in the...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Wide receiver carries the ball down the field in the end. And like J-Mo, there are so many examples of Goff hitting Jameson Williams in stride, allowing him to finish the play in the end zone because he doesn't have to slow down. He stays running full speed, and that's an issue for other teams.
It is, and he's averaged 21 yards a reception this year. He's become the guy we talked about before the year. He has to have a big year and kind of step up and be that number two receiver, and he has. He doesn't have a huge catch total, only 29 receptions on the season, but he's also only played the 9 games because of the suspension. Mm-hmm. But he still has so much more to give on a game-by-game basis, and he's explosive every time the ball comes near him.
I think I want to put together a parlay.
I was thinking the same thing.
With Jameson Williams anytime touchdown score.
I like it.
Jahmyr Gibbs over on the rushing total, and if we can bet Caleb Williams over interceptions, the Carson Anderson hunch parlay bet of the day.
I like it.
Let's see what we can get on that in terms of odds. There's that no sweat thing I was talking about.
Oh, yeah. Winner, turkey dinner.
Yeah. Let's go, boys.
Woo!
It's Carson Anderson. All right.
Not going to pardon that turkey.
You might have a new challenge on Thanksgiving. Something you've probably never had to deal with before when dealing with the Lions and Thanksgiving. We'll get to that today at 12:02 inside Allen Park with the Birchie Kid at 12:30 here on 97.1 The Ticket.